the Word of God, and you got to go by what the Word of God says, or you get yourself in trouble anyway. And I just believe that what the Word of God says is what the Word of God means. Amen? If you don't want to get in some kind of great old big debate with somebody, if the Word of God says it, I believe it. None of this mess, well, God meant that, but He didn't mean that. And He meant this, and He didn't mean that. No, if God wrote it, then it's real, and it needs to be used. Amen? So you got your Bible. Let's see here. Got your Bible. Stand for the reading of the Word. Revelation chapter 4. Got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, oh, me? Okay. Kind of hard to look at it, look on with somebody when you're 6 foot apart. So look in the front of the pew up there, and there should be one. I think I may even have it written down in here. I'm not sure. I've been putting the scriptures in there. I'm not sure if I put the scripture in this week or not. No, I didn't. So here we go. After this, y'all say after this. After this? Wait a minute. How's he starting off a message, a chapter with after this? I'm getting ready to tell you. There's a reason why here's an after this. There's a reason why that now the subject is changing. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately, y'all say immediately. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And we're going to just leave it right there, because we're not going any further today. That's all we're going to focus on, is those two scriptures. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are get more real all the time. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, in a very powerful way. And we know you got this. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Where did Eddie go? Eddie, can you turn on the lights up here? Where's Eddie at? Bless him. When he comes in, tell him he knows how the lights are supposed to be turned on. There's nothing up here. Amen. Which may be better for y'all because y'all can't see me then. The only problem is I need to be able to see what I'm doing. Amen. Amen. Let's just stop it right there. Here we go. Let's go back over this way. I'm trying to get back. I'm getting all out. There you go. Revelation chapter 4. I went back to the old book today. So y'all get ready. It's from the old book. Eddie, can you turn on some lights? Everything's off up here. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she said, is my time up? God said, no, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. Upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital, have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she was released from the hospital. While crossing the street on her way home, she was killed by an ambulance. Arriving at the front of God, she demanded, I thought you said I had another 40 years. God says you do, but I didn't recognize you. Okay. All right. So... All right, John the Revelator and his rapture. Remember, the Bible is so full. People say, "Well, show me the rapture in the Bible." Remember, the word rapture is never found in the Bible. Y'all need to tell somebody when they start telling about, tell me where rapture is found in the Bible. The word rapture is actually in the Greek harpazo. Harpazo means to be caught up. It means to not only be caught up, but it means to be snatched away. And the Bible is full of references of us being caught up and being snatched away. And so, and I looked through yesterday, and I was looking through, and I can't tell you how many times I saw the word harpazo used when God was snatching up somebody. And so again, whenever you see remember, somebody says, I don't see rapture in the Bible, tell them, that lets me know you're studying your Bible. Good. It's not in the Bible, but harpazo is. So if you want to study Greek, okay, let's go for it. All right. Don't want to really kind of freak them out. I'll write it down. Harpazo. Like Groucho Marx and Harpo Marx, harpazo. That's the fifth Marx brother, harpazo. All right, ready? Here we go. The world is about to experience one of the greatest events in church history. Something dramatic is going to take place, and it's going to summon the end of the church age. Not only is it going to summon the end of the church age, it's going to summon the end of the age of grace and the age of the Spirit. Okay? And what that is the rapture. I know there's a lot of controversy about the rapture and even the timing of the rapture. People say, well, the rapture, here we go again, there's the pre-trib, which I believe in. There's the mid-trib, which means halfway through the tribulation period, we'll be raptured away. There's the post-trib that believes at the end of the tribulation period, we're going to go up just so Jesus can get with us and take us back down. That's kind of crazy. You know, we just got here, Jesus, now it's time to leave. Amen. So pre-trib, I really believe it's the pre-trib rapture. And so let's just go a little bit further here. Maybe I can clear up some things about the rapture. So remember, pictures and types. That's all God ever used. And these are some stuff that I use on every one of the Rapture 3Ds. So I just want you to get it. Okay? God always, y'all say always, God always leaves a trail of prophetic breadcrumbs. Always. And you'll see these breadcrumbs in the form of pictures and types that in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, that lead up, picture, or type what's coming in the future. So that way you know that God's got this, because He's already shown me years before it happened. And what it shows me is that God is always in control, and God is always calling history. God is always in control. Y'all say He's always in control. Always. Somebody say always again. All right. And here again, I just want to just quickly talk about some rapture types. This is not all of them. This is some of them. And the word harpazo, and even in the Old Testament version of harpazo is used. Okay? So Enoch in Genesis, he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Elijah, a chariot of fire and a whirlwind, took him up and snatched him away. Philip, he was baptizing the eunuch. And after he baptized the eunuch, the Bible says the Spirit caught him away. Harpazo. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 said he was caught up in the Spirit into the third heaven. That word caught up again is harpazo. You know, and then Jesus himself, he was taken away at the beginning of the book of Acts and said, I'm coming back. The angel said he's coming back in the same way that he left. He's coming back in the clouds. So here it is. Although, here's John's rapture. Although the rapture in chapter 4 is not clearly called the rapture, it is clearly indicated. Now, again, there's some theologians, you know, there's theologians all over the place, and especially those that want to fight about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Some even call it a-trib, meaning that it's not even going to happen. We're just going to go on, and Jesus is going to come down, and that's how it's going to be. So all these theories, you know, a bunch of theories. So let's just get away from the theories, and let's just take the word for what it says, okay? Because you can sometimes, you know, isn't it amazing how a theologian can make simple scripture so complicated that you can't understand the word they said? Amen? How simple is Jesus Loves Me, the song we just sang? So simple. Amen? So here we go. So here, this is why I believe in the pre-trib rapture. It said after this, okay? Again, it said after this. That's the very first words we read was after this in chapter 4, okay? So let's go ahead and watch this now. The arrangement of the events. In chapter 1, verse 19, this was our very first sermon. I'm just going to read this to you, chapter 1 of Revelation. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion, and in the kingdom of the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which meant he was spiritized. Meaning, in order for him to see what he was going to see, God had to change him. So there's one change right there. He's in the Spirit. He's spiritized. He's seeing things that's getting ready to happen, okay? And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And here's the scripture I want to go to right now. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write these things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write the things you've seen, the things which are, and the things that shall be hereafter. Here's the arrangement of events. The first two segments have already been completed. The very first thing he said, write the things that you have seen. What did he see? He saw the glorified Christ. He's locked up. He's on the Isle of Patmos, or not necessarily locked up. He's locked away from people. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He can't get away. And so he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he could not get to God, but it didn't stop God from getting to him. Wow. Think about that. He couldn't get to God, but it didn't stop God from getting to him. So that's what he saw. He saw, and he said, write what you've seen, the glorified Christ. And so he wrote it. Then he said, write the things which are. The things which are was the seven churches. Remember, the seven churches were seven churches of that day. They actually were in a circle. And these seven churches represented seven individual congregations with seven individual temperaments and personalities. It also represents seven different types of Christians, and it represents seven different church ages. And last week, we finally did the last one, which is the age we're living in now, the Laodicean age. So, those first two segments are complete. The things you've seen, the glorified Christ. Then, for weeks now, we've been doing the seven churches, things which are. Okay? He says, I also need you to write the things which are getting ready to take place after. What is this that's getting ready to take place after? What is that? That's a picture of the Lord's day. Remember, the Lord's day is not just one day. The Lord's day is 7 years, and it's a series of events. It starts with the rapture, and then here comes the Antichrist, the four horsemen, which we're going to be talking about soon, and all the things that happen in 7 years tribulation, and Jesus Christ comes back and takes care of business. So that's the Lord's day, the day of God's wrath. So because it's the day of God's wrath, that's what the Lord's day is. So it's not one day, it's a series of events. If you can get that in your mind, it'll help you when you happen to see the Lord's day. When you see it written in Scripture, it's not one day. It is a series of events which last many, many years. So John's rapture. Why do I put the rapture right here? Well, remember now, there's some theologians say we're off when we say this, but I believe the Bible says what it means. You can take it and slice it and dice it, do what you want to with it. But it's kind of obvious. He said, after this. After this. Watch this. After we talked about the churches, and we're going to talk about the Lord's day, there's going to be a little intervention in between, or intermission between talking about the churches and the Lord's day, Something's got to be in there. Actually, it is actually the crowning event. It is the starting gate. It is the starting whistle for what's coming. Okay? So know that when the rapture takes place, that is the starting whistle for the day of the Lord. So now, watch this. Let's just take this out a little bit. Why would I say that this is the rapture? Well, because after this, you never hear about the church again in the book of Revelation. That's it. You hear about the Isle of Patmos. You hear about the stuff that he's in the seven golden candlesticks. All this stuff's going on, and you have all this about the seven churches, and then you have this event that happens, and when this event happens, where John now is called up into heaven to see what's going on, goes into an open door. That is the rapture, the pre-trib rapture. Matter of fact, watch this. This is so awesome. If you're taking notes, you need to write these down so this will keep you on track. Not one time is the church mentioned after chapter 3. Not one time. Never is it mentioned again. Now watch this. I'm going to even take it a little bit further. In chapter 2 and in chapter 3, he always ends each church with, "He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Look, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But from here on out, he just says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Wow. Never again. Not hear what God's saying to the churches. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Seven times he says, hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, but now you don't hear church anymore. Okay? Then, also, before you hear God talking about the Father and God talking about in a relationship, but in chapter 4 through 19, God is not referred to as the Father, but is referred to as God, Lord, Almighty, and other non-personal names. And so, the church, we're the ones that get the personal treatment. Okay? We are the children of God. We are the bride of Christ. So because we are the bride of Christ, that's why you hear Father, but after Revelation chapter 3, you hear that no more. Why? Because the church is gone. Okay? So now this is important to remember this now. Not only is the church going to be gone, but remember this now, everything from here on out is going to be talking about the Jews. Tribulation has got two strong purposes. Number one is all about reclamation. Redeeming or reclaiming the Jews. They think Jesus hadn't come yet. Not the Messianic Jews, but the Orthodox Jews. They believe Jesus hasn't come yet. And the Antichrist is going to fool them. They're going to think he is the Christ. So it's during this time they're going to realize they were wrong when they begin to be chased. And they understand that Jesus Christ has already come. Okay? So all about reclamation. God reclaims the Jews. Also, it's about reclaiming the earth. Satan is the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Right now, he has a tight rein on this world. If you haven't noticed it lately, take a look. Watch the news. Look at the stuff that's going around. All the stuff's happening all over the world. Satan is the god of this world. But during the tribulation period, when all hell breaks loose, God's going to reclaim his creation. So here we go. Let's go a little bit further. So there's the absence of the church. Secondly, there's the ascension of the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. This is really, really cool. And again, this probably is the most technical for pre-trib rapture than any other scripture in the Word. Okay? So, Revelation 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit's in the midst of the churches. In Revelation chapter 4, the Holy Spirit's before the throne. Wow. Before the rapture, the Holy Spirit's right there. After the rapture, the Holy Spirit's now before the throne of God. And 2 Thessalonians 2 and 6 says that there's a restraining force. It says that the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and he who now lets will letteth until he's taken out of the way. Then will the wicked one take over. The son of perdition will be revealed after he that led is taken out of the way. In other words, the restraining force. Where is the restraining force? It's in the Holy Spirit, but where is the restraining force? The Holy Spirit dwells in the church. So if you take the church out, the Holy Spirit is taken out. And now what you got is, the Bible says, according, if you look in the book of Revelation, now the Holy Spirit is like the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came in drops, in sprinkles. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out without measure. Now, in Revelation again, it didn't say he would be taken away. It said he'd be taken out of the way. There's a difference. To be taken away means he's not going to be anywhere to be found. But taken out of the way means is, okay, Satan, you won the world, you got it. People, you thought he was Christ, you got it. Take it. Wow. You think all hell's broke loose now? Nothing even close. Okay? So here we are. This is, again, we're talking about John's rapture. So first there's the absence of the church. There's an ascension of the Holy Spirit. Next, there's the affirmation of Scriptures. Listen to these words here. Just these words. Say this word, voice. Somebody say voice. Voice. Okay. Now, so first, voice. If you look in Revelation chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you things. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Again, look, the voice. Not only is there a voice, there's a trumpet. Revelation chapter 4, we just read it. They heard this sound like a trumpet talking with me. 1 Thessalonians, we just read it. The trump of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wow. So if you look at all this stuff, now this is building a case for the pre-trib rapture. Okay? Again, I'm not going to argue with people. If you want to say mid-trib, that's fine. If you want to say post-trib, that's fine. If you want to say a-trib, that's fine. Because when it happens, we can argue on the way up. Okay? This is not going to make it or break it whether you get to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus only. It's the power of the cross gets you saved, not your theology. Amen. So now, the next one is change. When you see this change, again, Revelation 4 and 2, it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. 1 Corinthians 15:52 again. And for in the twinkling of an eye, and the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what the rapture is for. All the people that we know, all of our loved ones, and if we should go before the trumpet sounds, the body, the flesh, is in the ground. But the soul is with God. People say, well, they've gone to their reward. No, they haven't. They've gone to safety. To safety. Not their reward. Safety. Oh, it's rewarding to be there. I'm telling you, when I walk through those gates, look. They said when I jumped out of that airplane, you could hear me hollering glory from 20,000 feet. Glory! But you know what? Can you imagine? I can't wait. I might just shout on one leg for 10,000 years and another leg for another 10,000. Okay? Made it. But the trumpet, we're going to talk about this too. The actual reward is going to come during the 7-year tribulation at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's where the judgment seat of Christ is going to be. The judgment seat of Christ is not for hell. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians to get their rewards. And you can't get that reward until time is up, because whatever you've done now follows you. You're gone, but it still follows you. The people that you influence, and they influence, and they influence, then you know, Billy Graham, awesome, awesome man of God. And I know God's got many stars in his crown, okay? But you know what? If you shake him on back, you know who caused the man that was preaching when Billy Graham got saved to come under conviction and be saved? Billy Sunday. So see, Billy Sunday's going to be getting some of that Billy Graham stuff. You know what I'm saying? All this stuff that Billy Graham's got, Billy Sunday's going to be getting some of that reward too. So your body's still in the ground, but at the rapture, we're going to be changed. The body's going to be raised incorruptible. The soul's going to come down, and you're going to meet together, your body and soul, and you have an incorruptible body. It's glorified. And then you go back to heaven, and that's when God can do something, because now you're complete. Okay? So before the rapture, you're safe. Before the tribulation, you're safe. But after the tribulation, now you get your rewards. All right? So, the affirmation of Scripture. And then finally, and I'm getting ready to, I'm telling you, I won't take a long time. I'm going to get this, and then we're going to get Brandon to come here and play something softly for us, and we're going to have a good time with God. I told you this one was not quite as skin you back like last week did. Amen. All right. So now, the attendance of John. Watch this. John is called to heaven. Come up hither. Come up hither. The rapture trumpet. Come up. Come up out of the grave. Come up and meet Jesus. Come up hither. We're not all gonna sleep, but we're all gonna be changed. And even the ones that are alive are gonna be changed right here on earth. Be changed, and we're gonna put on the incorruptible. And we're going up. Okay? So John is called to heaven. Come up hither. Now, in this scenario, John is a type of the church. And because John is a type of the church, you got to think about all this. Remember, the church is his bride. I promise you, the day that Linda Linton come down that aisle, dressed in that wedding gown, coming down the aisle to me, not only was I the happiest man in the world, I thought she was, and I still think she is, I thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world. And I would do nothing to mutilate my bride. Nothing. Nothing. Do you think, since we are the bride of Christ, that God's going to let his bride go through tribulation? He said, I will deliver you from that hour. That, we read it in the seven churches. Philadelphia said, look, when the bad times come, don't you worry, because if you got this kind of Philadelphia spirit, then I call it the Philadelphia freedom. Don't worry, because when that hour comes, I'm going to deliver you from it. You don't have to worry about this. So the church is his bride. And come up hither means to be raptured into the ultimate presence to prepare for the wedding feast. Now, and I'm going to make y'all some copies of these outlines. Like I told you I was, I keep forgetting. I got to see which churches I have got and what I don't have. I'll make sure they'll be out there. And all this revelation, I'll put it out there for you. Again, watch this now. The first time the door opens, listen to this. Chapter 4. The first time the door opens to heaven, somebody goes up. The next time, and it's peace and safety and glory and just honor. It's magnificent. We're going to talk about that next week when he finally gets a chance to see what he'd been living for all those years. So the first time the door opens, somebody goes up into peace and comfort and safety. The next time the door opens, somebody's coming down. Ruh-roh. Remember that little innocent lamb? Mary's little lamb? He would come down the first time as the little lamb. Quiet before his shearers. He let them beat him mercilessly. The Bible says he was beat so bad he didn't even look like a man when he went to that cross. That was the first time he came. The next door that opens in heaven, he's coming back. Woo! There's all kinds of things to be opening up. I'm not talking about the four horsemen and all that stuff. I'm talking about when he comes down. The first door is open to go to him. The second door is for him to come down and take care of business as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I don't think I've ever seen a lion scared of anything. Have you? I was really excited. I want to tell you this. I was really excited that now they've put back on TV Marlon Perkins and Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And Lynn and I had recorded a bunch of them. So we were going to watch them one day. We sat down. And I realized when I was a little boy, I thought he was just absolutely awesome. But I'm surprised to even show it now because I'm surprised that the Humane Society don't go after him. He took a cobra and got in front of a cobra and put a board up here and he went, "Watch this." I'm thinking, dude, you were absolutely crazy. He's trying to spit at me, but he's hitting that thing. Yeah. Oh, he got a little bit on my side of my... A cat falls off the table, he grabs him right by the head and yanks him back up. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then there was a cobra and a little whatever kind of animal, and he was trying to show how they fight, so he put the cobra in there and then threw the animal in there with him. I was thinking, man, oh man, the Humane Society would get him nowadays. Matter of fact, we didn't watch anymore. I think that's all I can handle. I thought Steve Irwin was something. No. Marlon Perkins made Steve Irwin look like a Cub Scout. Okay. Here's the question. Here they are. And they're going to close. Come on up here, Brandon, get ready to play something softly. I want you to ask yourself some questions. Right now. What on earth am I here for? What's my purpose? Number two. Am I ready to meet Jesus? Be prepared. Am I living life fully? Be expectant. Am I concerned for others? Be sharing. Preacher, one more for Jesus. This could be today. Last week I talked about spiritual show and tell. Do we just come to church as a spiritual show and tell? Do I just come to church to shut my wife up? Do I just come to church to shut my parents up? Do I just come to church to show everybody what I got? Or do I come to church to learn of God? Do I come to church to participate in collective worship? You say, well, I have to go to church to be a Christian. No, going to church makes you a Christian by as much as going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. But it's God's design. The church is the New Testament version of the Old Testament synagogue for the Jews. God designed us to be together. He even said one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Wow. One can chase 1,000. You would think, well, two would be 2,000. No, two, 10,000. It's called synergy. One horse make him pull 15, I'm just going to throw a number out there, 1,500 pounds. Put another horse beside him and yoke him. You think, well, then he can pull 3,000 pounds. No, they can pull 6,000 pounds. God wants us to serve God individually and collectively, to worship God individually and collectively. It's not going to be long now. We are on the launching pad. I believe with all my heart, we're on the launching pad. No more time for spiritual show and tell. Now's the time to step, listen carefully. Now's the time to be ready to step into the jaws of hell. I'm going to let it sink in for a minute. Now's the time to be ready, if necessary, to step in the very jaws of hell and reach one more for Jesus. I was at Annalene's softball game Thursday night. I didn't hear the phone ring. And I see I got a message. Didn't recognize the number. So I listened to the message on the way home, and it was somebody from B5. And sometimes you feel like you're not necessarily reaching people, because sometimes these guys can be very hard on each other. And I mean, you got a bunch of heroin addicts and alcoholics together. They can really be mean to each other and come across rough anyway. And it took a while to get breakthrough to this guy, but eventually broke through. He texted me or left me a message and said, I just want you to know I'm out. He said, I'd like to talk to you sometime. And he said, I just want to thank you for telling me about Jesus. He says, I know sometimes you feel like it goes on deaf ears. He says, but I want you to know that what you do matters. And people are listening. And he said, you challenged my life, and it'll never be the same. Thank you. I'm not printing any awards on me for that. Not one. I just wanted to tell that because I know some of y'all feel like maybe you're trying to reach people and you feel like it's not going anywhere. You're trying to tell people about Jesus and it's not going anywhere. You try to live the life and you weren't even paying attention. They are. People are watching. They're listening. They're taking mental notes. God wants to use every last one of us. And stepping into the jaws of hell is more than just PCDC. Stepping into the jaws of hell may be going in your own neighborhood. Stepping in the jaws of hell may be at your own workplace. Get ready. Stepping in the jaws of hell may be even in your own family. Be ready. Be prepared. Be expectant. And be busy. Let's all stand. There's a lot of prophecy to be fulfilled in the book of Revelation. There's even prophecy to be fulfilled before the Antichrist comes. People say, well, he's here now. So I've heard him say he's already been revealed. No, he hadn't been revealed, but I believe he's here. But he hadn't been revealed yet. And the spirit of Antichrist has been here since the beginning of the church. The spirit of Antichrist has been here ever since the birth of the church. And there's people that had that spirit of Antichrist, and that'd be like Hitler and Mussolini and Saddam Hussein. Those guys, they had the spirit of Antichrist, but they weren't the Antichrist. And I believe he's here, and he's going to be so subtle that he's going to suck everybody in, especially when he tries to describe why all these thousands of people are missing because of the rapture. There's not one speck of prophecy left before the rapture can actually take place. It could happen right this moment. But after the rapture takes place, he that letteth the restraining force when it's taken out of the way, then the son of perdition will be revealed. And all hell is going to break loose. I know you've heard this, and it's not a cliche, although it sounds like it. I don't want to take my chances. I want to go in the first load. Amen, bro. I want to go in the first load, because the first load, we get changed. And we're in like, phew. The next ones are going to go by putting their head on the block. Wow. Wow. The next one are going to go by being martyred, by being killed, by being crucified. So I want to go in the first load and let God do something. I want to be in heaven when all this is going on. I don't want to be down here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I'm going to ask a question. Very simply, are you ready? If the rapture should take place today, are you ready? Are you ready for the first load? Are you ready? Because once that takes place, wow, it's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about it next week. It's going to be amazing. Are you ready? Do you know you and God got it together? I don't mean you got to be perfect. There's not one perfect one in here. Doesn't mean that you don't mess up. Doesn't mean that you don't have to repent all the time. I have to repent all the time, especially when I have two 13s in my mouth at the same time. I have to repent for my attitude. I have to repent for my actions, just like everybody else does. But that doesn't mean I'm not ready to meet God, because I keep the list short. When I realize I've done something, whether the Holy Spirit tells me or whether I realize it, I go ahead and repent right then and keep the list short, because I want to go on the first load. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not sure that you're ready for that first load, you're not ready to hear that voice. But first, let me tell you, if you're not ready, you're not going to hear that voice. You're not going to hear that trumpet. But if you are, you're going to hear it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are not sure, but nobody's looking around, but just stick that hand up and say, I'm not sure that I'm ready for the first load. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Bring them peace and comfort and solitude. And to know that even though they may have sometimes problems with attitudes and problems with actions, all they got to do is stay prayed up and have a repentant heart and say, God, forgive me. You'll be ready for that first load. Maybe you're here today and you still just struggle. You know you're going to go in that first load, but you're still struggling. You struggle because every time you turn around, that attitude gets in your way, them actions get in your way, and you just, ah, you struggle. And you need God to help you with the struggle. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Will you put that hand up? I have problems with the struggle. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless those with their hands up, Lord. Let them feel your power and your anointing in this struggle to know that you got them. And that it's by grace alone, not by works, by grace alone. By grace alone are they saved. Right now, in the name of Jesus, let's all pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for revelation, because it shows me just how close we are. Help me to be rapture ready. Help me to keep my list short. Help me to live a repentant lifestyle that's not one free of error, but is one full of grace. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And God, we give this day to you, and we thank you for what's getting ready to happen. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Isn't God good? Brandon, you're sounding good, bro. Don't he sound good? Very, very, very good. All right. Tuesday night, we're still talking about New Testament. We're talking about the church, the Word of God. It's more or less kind of technical, like today's message was more technical, I think, trying to build a case. You had an apologetic approach to the pre-trib rapture. You want to tell somebody, you want to get real technical and real theological with them? Just tell them, so you had today at church, you had an apologetic approach to the pre-trib rapture. And they go, huh? They go, I have no idea what that means, but we're getting ready to leave. Amen. Isn't God good? All the time. God is good. It's so good to see Brother Jimmy back with us. Bless his heart. He's had a time with that leg. Brother Jimmy, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?